بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 39th hadith from Al-Arba'een al-Nawawiyyah. And it is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله تجاوز لي عن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان وما استكره عليه. حديث حسن رواه ابن ماجه والبيهقي وغيرهما. ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما narrates that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي, that Allah has pardoned for my sake from my ummah al-khata, mistakes, wal-nisyan, and forgetfulness, وَمَسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ, and that which they are forced to do. And the narrator of the hadith is the famous virtuous companion Abdullah ibn Abbas Ibn Abd al-Muttalib Ibn Hashim. So he is Hashimi Qurashi, and he is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his father Al-Abbas was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the kunya of Abdullah ibn Abbas, it is Abu al-Abbas. And this virtuous companion, he was known for his knowledge, and this is why he was given the nickname Al-Bahr, i.e. an ocean of knowledge, and Al-Hibr, and also Tarjamanul Qur'an. And the meaning of Tarjamanul Qur'an, the one who clarified and explained the Qur'an, from the Arabic word Tarjama Al-Kalam, إِذَا بَيَّنَهُ وَوَضَّحَهُ, when a person clarifies a statement and explains a statement, then this is tarjama. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, he was much younger than him, and he grew up in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was born when the Prophet and his companions were exiled to the outskirts of Mecca during that period. And previously we spoke about the life of Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he saw Jibreel twice. In one of the narrations, Ibn Abbas, he saw Jibreel radiallahu anhu. أَنَّهُ رَأَى جِبْرِيلَ مَرَّتَيْنِ, that he saw Jibreel two times. وَدَعَى لَهُ النَّبِيُّ مَرَّتَيْنِ, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua for him twice. And Ibn Sa'd mentions from Ikrimah that Al-Abbas, the father of Abdullah, he sent his son Abdullah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abdullah went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he returned back to his father, and he said, "Ra'aytu 'indahu rajulan la adri man huwa." He said that I saw a man with the Prophet, and I don't know who he is. So then Al-Abbas, the father of Abdullah, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he informed him that his son Abdullah, he went to see him, and he saw a man who was standing with the Prophet. فَدَعَاهُ, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called Abdullah. فَأَجْلَسَهُ فِي حِجْرِهِ, and then the Prophet made him sit down on his lap because he was a young boy. وَمَسَحَ رَأْسَهُ, and he wiped over his head. وَدَعَى لَهُ بِالْعِلْمِ, and he made dua for him for knowledge. And the man who he saw with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was Jibreel alaihi salam. in the form of a man. And also Ibn Abbas was from one of those companions who was successful due to the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet made dua for him, Allahumma barik fihi wanshur minhu. O Allah, place blessings in him and spread the knowledge from him. And also the Prophet made the dua for Abdullah ibn Abbas, Allahumma allimhu ta'wil wa faqihu fi ad-din. O Allah, teach him the explanation of the Quran, wa faqihu fi ad-din, and give him fiqh and understanding of the religion. And Ibn Abbas said, Dhammani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila sadrih. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he embraced me close to his chest. And then he said, Allahumma allimhu al-kitab. O Allah, teach him the book, i.e. the Quran. Wa fi riwayah, Allahumma allimhu al-hikmah. O Allah, teach him wisdom. And also the Prophet made a dua for Ibn Abbas. He said, Allahumma a'ta Ibn Abbasin al-hikmah. O Allah, give Abdullah ibn Abbas hikmah, wisdom. وَعَلِّمْهُ التَّأْوِيلِ, and teach him التأويل, i.e. التفسير. And also Ibn Abbas said, مَسَحَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ رَأْسِي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he wiped over my head. وَدَعَى لِي بِالْحِكْمَةِ, and he supplicated for me that I be given wisdom. And also in one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he entered in order to answer the call of nature. And Ibn Abbas came and he placed a bucket of water for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the Prophet returned, he said, Man wada'a hadha? Who placed this utensil of water here? And he was told that it was Abdullah ibn Abbas. So the Prophet said, Allahumma faqihu fi ad-din. O Allah, give him understanding of the religion. And because of the barakah of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for Abdullah ibn Abbas, he attained a great status in this ummah and a great extent of knowledge. And Mujahid, who was from the Tabi'een and one of the Imams of the Mufassireen, and he was the student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he spoke about Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, "An innahu kana idha fassara al-Qur'ana ra'aytu 'alayhi an-nur." That when Ibn Abbas used to make tafsir of the Quran, I used to see light in his face. And Ibn Abbas, he died in At-Ta'if 68 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as for this noble hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has commanded us to do certain things and He has forbidden us from doing other things. And He has clarified where is guidance and where is misguidance. And He has given each human an ability and a choice. And then Allah subhanahu, He will hold people to account. And He will reward those people who did goodness with the goodness of the Akhirah, and those people who disobeyed and did evil with the punishment of the Akhirah. However, this hisab, this accountability, and this reward and punishment, it is only based upon those actions and those statements which we have an ability to control. So any statement or any action which we don't have the ability to control, a person isn't held accountable over. So there are certain statements and actions which we as humans, we don't have the ability to control. Like our thoughts. Thoughts come to a person's mind without a person controlling them. And also the mistakes that we make, moments of forgetfulness or error, which is a part of human nature. And there are three specific things which were mentioned in this hadith. An-nisyan, wal-khata, wal-ikrah. Forgetfulness, and doing something as a mistake, and being forced to do something. And if we think about the actions of the people, and the statements of the people, there are two types. There are actions and statements which emanate from a person out of choice and will and intent. And these actions and these statements which a person does with intent, a person is questioned over. And then there are other actions and statements which a person may do but without intent. As I mentioned, forgetfulness, mistakes and error, and also being forced to do something. And these three actions, this hadith talks about. And this hadith, the author, Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he said, Rawah ibn Majah, that Ibn Majah has compiled from Ibn Abbas. And this hadith was collected by Ibn Majah upon the authority of Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari and also Ibn Abbas. And this hadith was also collected by Al-Bayhaqi, as the author said, and also Al-Tabarani and Al-Hakim in Al-Mustadrak, all from Ibn Abbas. And this hadith has been narrated with different wordings, with the same meaning. So in one wording, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, غُفِرَ لِي مِنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَى وَالنِّسْيَانِ وَالْإِسْتِكْرَاهِ. That for my sake, my ummah has been forgiven from their mistakes and their moments of forgetfulness and when they are forced to do something. And in another narration, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ تَجَاوَزَ لِأُمَّتِي. That Allah has overlooked or pardoned from my ummah. And then he mentioned الخطأ والنسيان وَمَسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ, and that which they are forced to do. And in one narration, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَضَعَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي. That Allah has removed from my ummah, meaning removed the burden of accountability and recompense. This hadith, with its different wordings, many of the Hufaz, they considered it to be da'if, weak in its sanad. I.e. the chain of narration is weak, for various reasons. However, the meaning of the hadith, it is correct, due to other ayat of the Quran, and certain principles of fiqh, and generally throughout the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the general message of the Sharia. And this we will cover as we go along. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي. Verily Allah has pardoned لِي. And the lam here in this word, للتعليل. And the meaning of التعليل is due to a certain matter, due to a certain reason. So when the Prophet said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي, verily Allah has pardoned for my ummah, for me, meaning for my sake, because of me being Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and how great my status is with Allah, then for my sake, Allah has pardoned from my ummah. So when the Prophet said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي مِنْ أُمَّتِي أو عَنْ أُمَّتِي, verily Allah has pardoned for my sake from my ummah. This shows us the great status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and how preferred he was with Allah subhanahu. And what has this ummah been pardoned from? Al-khata. And al-khata is any action or any statement which a person does without intent, i.e. a mistake. A person didn't intend to do something, he fell into this action as an error or a mistake. So this is the first thing which has been removed from the ummah. There is no sin upon a Muslim if they did something as a mistake, out of error. And this is from the ayah in the Quran, وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ فِي مَا أَخْطَأْتُمْ بِهِ, that there is no sin upon you over that which you did in error. وَلَكِنْ مَا تَعَمَّدَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ, however, that which your hearts intend. That which your hearts intend, and then you do, then there is accountability. As for khata, mistakes, something which you didn't intend, there's no sin upon a person. And in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, in the Battle of Khaybar, there was a companion called Amir ibn al-Aqwa, radiallahu anhu. And this companion came forward to have a duel with one of the mushrikeen in the battle. So Amir ibn al-Aqwa, radiallahu anhu, he drew his sword and he went to attack the mushrik. However, he missed the mushrik and his sword ended up hitting his own self. And because of this, he died. So because of this injury of his own sword hitting his own body, he died. And some of the people, they started speaking. And some of them said, "Inna Amiran qatala nafsahu." That Amir, he has killed himself. He has committed suicide. فَبَطَلَ بِذَٰلِكَ عَمَلُهُ. And therefore his actions are null and void. So his brother, Salma ibn Aqwa, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa yabki. He approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was weeping. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wa ma yubkik?" What makes you cry? He said, "Qalu inna Amiran batala amalahu." He said that the people are saying that Amir has invalidated his own actions. The Prophet said, "Man qala dhalik?" Who said this? He replied, "Nafarun min ashabik," that a group of people from your companions. Why? Because they say he has killed himself, he did suicide. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Kadhaba ulaika ballahu al-ajr marratayn," that they are incorrect, rather for him are two rewards. So the first reward which he had was that mistake which he made, Allah has pardoned. Because it was a mistake. He didn't kill himself by intent. And the second reward which he had was a shahada, that he died as a martyr. And also, the ulama, they attach to al-khata al-jahl, ignorance. So somebody did an action as a mistake, pardoned. A person did an action based upon jahl, ignorance, he's also pardoned. But only in those matters in which jahl is an excuse. So if somebody prostrates to an idol and worships the dead and calls out to the awliya and seeks closest to the jinn and the shayateen and slaughters in the name of a jinn, then jahl isn't an excuse. Because this is shirk. And a person has to know at-tawheed. But in other instance, a person didn't know a ruling and he did the action only afterwards he realized the ruling. Here, jahl is also an excuse. So khata, and we attach along with khata al-jahl, ignorance. And then the second thing which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned is an-nisyan. And the meaning of an-nisyan is when your heart knows something, but then it forgets that thing. So in an-nisyan is from, or is forgetfulness. And also an-nisyan is from human nature. And this is why in Arabic, the humans, al-insan, he's called al-insan, from an-nisyan. Because the nature of insan is an-nisyan, that he forgets. And it is only Allah subhanahu who doesn't forget. So because of the nature of a human being, in forgetfulness, he was called insan, from an-nisyan. And also Allah has pardoned from this ummah those things which they do or they don't do based upon forgetfulness. And this is from the ayah in which Allah says that the believers say, "Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana." O our Lord, do not hold us to account if we forget or we err. And then the third matter which the ummah has been pardoned from is al-ikrah. And the meaning of ikrah is when somebody is forced to do something or compelled and coerced to do something. And they don't have a choice in that matter. So al-ikrah, ay al-ijbar wal-ilzam, being forced and compelled upon something. And we have to pay attention to the wording of the hadith. There is a difference between al-ikrah and al-khawf. So al-khawf is fear. And ikrah is being forced to do something. And fear is not an excuse. But ikrah is forgiven. So a person cannot say that I didn't pray because I was fearful that people may laugh at me. Rather, it has to be ikrah, that a person is forced and prevented from the salah. And also, ikrah has been pardoned from this ummah due to the saying of Allah, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ, except for the one who is coerced to do something and his heart is tranquil with iman. This person, Allah pardons him and does not hold him account to according to that which he did. And this noble ayah, Ibn Abbas mentions that this ayah, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ, except for the one who is forced and his heart is tranquil with iman. This was revealed regarding Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhuma. And that is that Ammar ibn Yasir in Mecca, the Quraysh, they used to punish him because it was a family who were poor. Ali Yasir was a family who were poor and nobody to support them. So the Quraysh, the Mushrikun, they used to punish Ammar radiallahu anhu. And they used to force him to say words of kufr. And he said the words. And then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making an excuse and apologizing that they forced me and they punished me to say words of kufr and I said them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, wa kayfa tajidu qalbak, that when you were saying these statements of kufr, how did you find your heart? He said, مُطْمَئِنًّا بِالْإِيمَانِ, that I was tranquil upon iman, comfortable with iman, except that they were forcing me. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنْ عَادُوا فَعُدْ, and if they force you to do the same thing, then you say the same thing. Say a word of kufr. As long as your heart is upon iman, and they are compelling you to make statements of kufr, then say it again. إِنْ عَادُوا فَعُدْ. If they return, then you do the same. And then Allah revealed this ayah, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِ, that the one who disbelieves after his iman, i.e. this one is a kafir, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ, except for the one who is coerced upon kufr and his heart is tranquil upon iman. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا, however the one whose chest is open to disbelief. فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, upon those people is the anger of Allah and for them is the painful punishment. And in another narration, it is mentioned that they forced Ammar ibn Yasir to insult the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to praise the false idols and the false gods. And then Ammar came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, sabbabtuka, I insulted you and I cursed you. Wa dhakartu alihatahum bi khair, and I mentioned good things about their idols and their gods. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Wa kayfa tajidu qalbak, and how do you find your heart? He said, مُطْمَئِنًّا بِالْإِيمَانِ, tranquil upon iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنْ عَادُ فَعُدْ, if they tell you to do the same thing, do the same thing. And then Allah revealed the ayah, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ الْآيَةِ. And if Allah has removed and pardoned from this ummah words of kufr, if you are forced, then sins which are less than kufr, min babi awla, they are forgiven. So as you see, each one of these three matters, there is an evidence from the Quran. There are certain matters which are linked to these three things: error, forgetfulness, and being forced upon something, and also jahl. And the first point is that these three matters, they remove the sin. However, sometimes the ruling it remains. So for example, the one who forgot the prayer, the sin for not praying is removed, but the hukam of the prayer remains upon him. So as soon as he remembers, he has to pray. A person who prayed and he forgot to do wudu, the sin of him praying without wudu has been forgiven. However, the hukam, the ruling of the prayer, it remains. And that is that he has to go make wudu when he remembers and repeat the salah. So this is an important principle from Al-Qawa'id Al-Fiqhiyya. That sometimes the sin may be removed, but however the hukam, it remains. And the ulama, they differentiate between the ma'murat and the manhiyat, the commandments and the prohibitions. So when it comes to the commandments, the sin is removed, however the hukam, it remains. And when it comes to the prohibitions, the sin and the hukam is removed. And I'll clarify this in a short while. So, like we said, the first principle is that the sin may be removed, but the ruling remains. And secondly, we have to differentiate between the commandments and the prohibitions, the wajibat and the muharramat. So the commandments, the sin is forgiven, but the hukam remains. As for the prohibitions, the sin and the hukam, both of them are removed. And I'll give you a number of examples. So for example, in the salah, let's say a person spoke with words within the salah, words which are external to the salah. However, he did this out of ignorance. Is this person's salah valid or not? It is valid. Why? Because he did it out of forgetfulness or jahl. And Allah has removed from his ummah jahl and ignorance and forgetfulness or error. And the evidence of this is the hadith of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam as-Salami radiallahu anhu. And that is that he was praying in jama'ah, and one of the people in the jama'ah, they sneezed. And that person said, Alhamdulillah. The one who sneezed said, Alhamdulillah. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he said, Yarhamukallah. So then the people, they started to hit their thighs to signal to him to remain quiet. However, he started speaking. He said, Ma sha'nukum, what's wrong with you? Why are you hitting your thighs? And then he understood that the people were trying to tell him to be quiet and not to speak. However, he carried on speaking. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the salah had finished, the Prophet turned to him and told him that this salah, it isn't correct that a person speaks in this salah. Rather, this salah is for tasbih and tahmid and takbir and so on and so forth. The evidence is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell him to repeat the salah again, because he did it out of ignorance. He didn't know that it invalidates a person's salah. And the Prophet only clarified to him that don't do it again. In fact, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he said, فَلَمَّا صَلَّى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had finished his prayer, فَبِأَبِي هُوَ وَأُمِّي, then he is by my father and my mother. He said, مَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ أَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمًا مِنْهُ, that I never saw any teacher before him or after him who is better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَا ضَرَبَنِي وَلَا شَتَمَنِي وَلَا كَهَرَنِي, he did not insult me, he did not rebuke me, he did not hit me. Rather, he only said, "Inna hadhihi salah la yasluhu fiha shay'un min kalam an-nas." That this prayer, this salah, the speech of the people should not enter into this salah. Inna ma huwa lit-tasbih wat-takbir wa qira'at al-Qur'an. This salah is only for making tasbih and takbir and the recitation of the Qur'an. On the other side, the famous hadith of Musi as-Salah, the one who prayed badly. And he wasn't praying properly. And he was doing this based upon jahl, based upon ignorance. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him 3 times, "Irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli." Go back, repeat your prayer because you have not prayed. Even though he also was doing it upon ignorance. However, this person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, "Your prayer is not valid and you have to repeat your prayer." So what's the difference between the hadith of Muawiyah and the hadith of Musi as-Salah? That Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he did something which was forbidden, i.e. speaking. And we said that when it comes to the prohibitions, then the sin and the ruling is removed. So the prayer was not invalid and neither was there sin upon him. He doesn't have to repeat the prayer again. The hadith of Musi as-Salah, the one who prayed badly, he wasn't fulfilling a commandment. The commandment of making sujood properly and ruku' properly and standing properly and praying slowly. So because his error and his ignorance was in the ma'murat, in the obligations, the sin was removed, however the hukam remained. And he had to repeat his prayer. Another example. If a person came to us in Ramadan and said that I fasted Ramadan, but I forgot to make the niyyah. I forgot to make the intention. And as you know, making an intention for a fast which is an obligation is also an obligation. A person cannot fast an obligatory prayer without having an intention before the night before. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Whoever fasts without making an intention the night before, فَلَا صِيَامَ لَهُ, there is no fast for him." Meaning the obligatory fasting. As for the nafal fast, a person can make without any intention. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ, if a person came to us and said that I fasted this day, but I forgot to make the intention. I just woke up and I didn't eat. And then Maghrib came, and after Maghrib I remembered that I didn't make the intention. Is his fast valid or not? And he forgot, it isn't valid. He has to repeat the fast again. If another person came to us and said that I was fasting and out of forgetfulness I ate and I drank. Is his fast valid? Yes, his fast is valid and he doesn't have to repeat it again. What's the difference between both of them? Both of them did the same action without remembering, it was ignorance and error and forgetfulness. The difference is that the first one, he left the ma'murat, he left an obligation. The obligation of having the niyyah. And so his sin is removed, however the hukm remains. And he has to repeat the fast again. The second person, he did something which was forbidden. Out of forgetfulness, he ate and drank. However, when it comes to the manhiyat, the prohibitions, the sin is removed and also the hukm is removed as well. And for this reason, he doesn't have to repeat the fast again. So we differentiate between the ma'murat and the manhiyat. The ma'murat, the commandments, the obligations, the sin is pardoned, however the hukm remains. The manhiyat, the prohibitions, the sin is removed and also the hukm is also removed. Also, from the principles which relate to error and forgetfulness and being forced to do something, is that if a person did an action based upon these three matters, the right of Allah is forgiven. However, the right of the people, it remains. So if a person damaged another person's property without an intention, forgetfulness, error, he didn't mean to do it, it was an accident, there's no sin upon the person. So in terms of haqqullah, the right of Allah, that right is removed. However, haqqul makhluq, the right of the people, it remains. So even though there is no sin upon the person, but he has to compensate the other person's property, the damage which he did to the other person's property. Because although the person did the action upon error and forgetfulness, but somebody has to compensate the right of that person, the other person. So therefore, the compensation, the man, it remains upon him. And this is why As-Sa'di rahimullah, he said, وَالْخَطَى وَالْإِكْرَاهُ وَالنِّسْيَانُ أَسْقَطَهُ مَعْبُودًا الرَّحْمَانُ لَكِنْ مَعَ الْإِتْلَافِ يَثْبُتُ الْبَدَلُ وَيَنْتَفِي التَّثِيمُ عَنْهُ وَالزَّلَلُ. He said in Nazm Al-Qua'id Al-Fiqhiyya that Al-Khata, error, Wal-Ikrah, and being coerced upon something, Wal-Nisyan, and forgetfulness, Asqatahu, Ma'budun Ar-Rahman, that the most merciful Allah, He has forgiven the sin. Lakin ma'al itlaf yathbutul badal. However, if you damage something, somebody else's property based upon your error, your forgetfulness, then yathbutul badal, you have to compensate. But the itham, the sin, has been forgiven. And notice also how Allah in the Quran, how He differentiated between a person who kills another believer intentionally or out of error. So the one who did it out of error, Allah said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَن يَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنًا. It isn't correct for a believer to kill another believer, إِلَّا خَطَأَ, except as a mistake. وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا خَطَأً, and whoever kills another believer mistakenly, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنًا, then he has to free a believing slave. وَدِيَةٌ مُسَلَّمَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ, and he has to give the diya, he has to give the blood money to his family, he has to compensate. And then when Allah spoke about a believer who kills another believer intentionally, Allah said, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا, whoever kills a believer intentionally, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ, then his punishment is hell. خَالِدًا فِيهَا, and he will remain in it. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and Allah becomes angry upon him. وَلَعَنَهُ, and Allah curses him. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا, and Allah prepares for him an awful punishment. So notice in the first ayah, because it was done out of mistake, there is no punishment. But the diya remains, the blood money remains, the compensation remains. And the kafara of freeing or emancipating a slave, it remains. In the second ayah, a person did it muta'ammidan, intentionally, and therefore there is punishment upon the person. Also, the ulama, they made an exception when it comes to ikrah, that you're allowed to do a sin if you're compelled and forced to do it, except two things, az-zina and al-qatl. You're not allowed to take the life of another person, and nor are you allowed to commit zina, even if you're compelled to do so. So if a person came to another and said to him, either you kill that person or I'm going to kill you, and they place a gun to the head of that person, that either you kill that person or I am going to kill you. In this situation, a person cannot kill that other person and say it was ikrah, I was compelled. Because what gives you the right to sacrifice his life for your life? And also az-zina. So in this scenario, a person, he chooses to die and be killed rather than take the life of the other person. And from the benefits of this hadith is firstly that the sin has been removed based upon error, ignorance, forgetfulness, and being coerced to do something, however the hukm it may remain. And also the great status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah pardoned from the ummah these matters li, for his sake, li ajli, for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also the mercy of this religion and the mercy of Allah, that he has pardoned these matters. And also from the attributes of Allah is at-tajawuz. And the meaning of at-tajawuz is to overlook and pardon. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.